Good morning again. It's okay, you can say good morning back if you want to. So this summer, I'm guessing there are vacation church camps, sometimes called vacation Bible schools, going on all over the country. I haven't figured out how you can have 90 or so frolicking children and youth all over the building for a week and not talk about the news of children being separated from their parents at the border. So we talked about this with our children at vacation church camp. I read a story about a mom who left Guatemala with her 8-year-old son. I read it to our 8-year-olds. Her son is somewhere here, and she was sent back to Guatemala without him. One of our kids was so angry at the end of hearing the story that he blurted out, "Pastor John, send me to D.C. I'll fix this." That's the spirit, right? And so right over there, right where you guys are sitting, he just popped out with that, and I think he'd do it. So we talked about the ways that we can act when we see injustice in the world, about the ways that we can be saints so that God's love can work through us. Along with the letter that I sent, along with 640 of my closest Methodist friends to the Attorney General, many of you have written letters, you've made calls, you've signed petitions, or you're about to, and you've sent postcards. And what we did had an impact, although it's clear there's still much work to be done, right? And so we will all keep our eyes on the border. We'll keep pressing on. As Lisa said, there's some opportunities for you right after the service. We've also encouraged giving to the organizations we've identified that are really doing good work, are RAISIS and JFON, but there are plenty of others. We're going to stay in the struggle. Friends, I hope you won't waste your energy on hate and vitriol. I see that all over social media. I know it's tempting, wasting that on the people who are causing harm. I hope instead that you'll use that energy for good, for compassion for those who are hurt. And as Heather said 2 weeks ago, when we're tired from fighting these things, we will do what? We will rest and we will heal, trusting that we are not in this alone. Amen? Okay, that's sermon one. On to sermon two. The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with you all. Everything is connected. Everything. What we are talking about today, the practice of pronouncing blessings, and you heard two of the really famous ones from the Old Testament, that may seem so far to you from these raw issues that are just jumping out of social media and newspapers and out of our television screens, but it's all connected. As a congregation, you are a place of deep blessing. Do you know that? You are. And because you are, you will find a way to bless families who are at the border. You're a place of deep blessing, and by that I mean you've created a space where everyone who crosses the threshold and comes into this place is seen and heard and fully accepted and embraced. You give sanctuary to folks who've been hurt by life and who have been beaten up by their churches. You give grace to the least and the lost. You bless everything in this place. Water, babies, confirmands, graduates, teachers, students, bicycles, bread, oil, elders. Is there anything that we don't bless around here? And you do this not just for each other, but you do it for our guests. And you do it for the staff. We recently were closing in. I think we're pretty much finalized on our new youth pastor, and we'll be making an announcement this week. But One of the things that I was struck by was this person saying to us how amazed and thankful he felt to be able to work in a congregation like this. Amen? So you do that for others, but you also have done it for me. As I look back on my 8 years with you, and as I look ahead into the uncharted territory of a ninth year, I've never been in a congregation for 9 years, so I don't know what's going to happen. I'm aware that the blessings that I have received as a pastor in this church, they've kind of worked me over. They've done a number on me. I'm not the same person now that I was in 2010, and I don't mean my hair's grayer and fewer in number. I mean, I'm a different person. I found it to be true that blessings, real blessings, awaken things in us. They open up our imagination. They invite us to pay attention to things. Maybe even notice some things that we hadn't even noticed before. They call us to dream things that we only dimly perceived, and now we're moving toward those things that were just a dream. The deep place of blessing here is the call. You and I, we're the response. The deep place of blessing is the invitation. And you and I are hands and feet. We're the next blessing. So the Methodist Federation for Social Action Award that Richard presented this morning to me is for all of us, okay? Can we just say that? Can we agree on that? This would not have happened if I had stayed in the last church that I was in for 16 years. It wouldn't have happened. And it's really about our support of M. Barclay, who is our youth pastor and justice associate. M sought to become a candidate for ordination in 2013 in our annual conference, which then was the Southwest Texas Annual Conference. So just FYI, I was thinking about this. When I came here in 2010, nobody said, Pastor John, you know what? In a couple of years, you are going to get into a formal argument with the bishop of your conference. You're going to be talking to church lawyers about that argument. And the argument is going to go all the way to the Judicial Council, which is like the Supreme Court of the Methodist Church, and it's going to go there twice. I would have said, you're nuts. I'm not up for that. But that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. The happy ending to M's story is that although we pushed mightily to have their candidacy recognized here, M was finally commissioned as a candidate for deacon's orders about a year ago in the Northern Illinois Conference. And M is now the first openly transgender person ordained in the United Methodist Church. Amen. Darn, I should have turned my camera on video and just captured that and sent it to M. M's doing well, by the way. We saw M at annual conference. Here's what I found to be true, that as I head out from this place, blessing somehow follows me. It's like that Celtic prayer that we say every once in a while. Blessing ahead of me, blessing behind me. Blessing over me, blessing underneath me. And maybe you found this to be true also. You step out into what seems like darkness, into something brand new maybe, and a little bit frightening, and you find blessing. You find light because you've received blessing here in some way, rising up to fill every emptiness. Jan Richardson is a writer, an artist, and an ordained United Methodist minister. We've used her work often in our services. She says that blessing has kind of sneaked up on her over the years. She never set out to write blessings, but often found herself enchanted by the power of a blessing. She finally wrote a gorgeous book of blessings in the wake of her husband's death. Here's one: Blessing the Way. With every step you take, this blessing rises up to meet you. It has been waiting long ages for you. Look close and you can see the layers of it. How it has been fashioned by those who walked this road before you. How it has been created out of nothing but their determination and their dreaming. How it has taken its form from an ancient hope that drew them forward and made a way for them when no way could be seen. Look closer, and you will see this blessing is not finished, that you are a part of the path it is preparing, that you are how this blessing means to be a voice within the wilderness and a welcome for the way. Did you catch all of that? This blessing has been prepared for you and for me by so many who have come before us. This blessing is not finished. It's not done with you or with me. This blessing doesn't end here. It moves on. The world needs you, friends, to pronounce a blessing. Notice that the title of this sermon is The Practice of Pronouncing Blessings, huh? Not just receiving them. That's important work on its own. But pronouncing them everywhere, on everyone and on everything. Even on trees. Yes. Barbara Brown Taylor asked her class to read the poem that we read this morning to a real tree outside. You might try it later and report back to us. See how that went. One student who confessed that poetry was not her thing discovered that the words had what she called an inside and an outside. And she had only read the outside, but reading it to the tree, she found the inside. And the words were so beautiful, she almost wept. Other students had similar experiences that they shared in class, but they all agreed, they made a pact together, that they would not discuss what happened when they read their poems to the tree with the other graduate students, at least not until happy hour. Maybe because no one would believe them. I think this happens because blessings are just, they're like that. They're so wild, they're so powerful. A few weeks ago, we read the story of Jacob when he was a young man. He was a trickster. He swindled his brother out of a blessing. Toward the end of the book of Genesis, we meet Jacob the elder, now the patriarch of a nation, right? Surrounded by his children, and Jacob is blessing them. And he reminds them that his blessing is stronger than the blessings of the eternal mountains. At annual conference a couple of weeks ago, we found some blessings. Many of us at annual conference in this church and in other churches wear our rainbow stoles the whole time that we're there. We're taking a stand for the equality of all of God's people, and especially for God's LGBTQ people. So one of the managers at the convention center approached Richard Bates and asked him about the stoles. What did they mean? Why were people wearing them? And Richard explained. The man said he had a connection with a church that I had pastored in Corpus years ago. So picture this in the foyer of the convention center, this big open space. There are 50 or 60 of us. You were there singing, and our other delegates were singing. And we're singing a protest song. Which song were we singing? We were singing a couple different songs. What does the Lord require of you? And Richard brought this man over to me, and I recognized him immediately, and we embraced. And as we held each other's arms, he said, "You know me. You know my boys. They went through confirmation with you. My older son is gay, and he's had a really tough time, and he does not feel welcome in church. But thank you for this. Thank you for loving us. This means so much to me and to my son. This gives me hope." Blessings. I mean, just popped out of nowhere. They just shimmer with mystery. They startle us with beauty and with tears and also with laughter. At vacation church camp this week, one of our leaders shared with me that she was reading a story, and one of the younger children got real close to her and touched her face and said, "Boy, you are really old." Okay, this leader is just a few years older than I am. The leader said, "I am really old. How old do you think I am?" The child thought for a second and said, "20? Oh, bless you, child. So, here's the deal. I don't think that you need a class to learn how to bless, right? I mean, clearly, there is no age limit because some of the best blessings come from children. Theological training? Optional. Ordination? May actually get in the way of blessing because we get too fancy and flowery with our blessings. Or you might even think that we're the only ones who can do blessings. So just start throwing some blessings around and then see what happens. Try this. Toss out a few blessings the next time you are parked in the land of eternal cursing, which is Mopac, right? At 5 p.m., toss some blessings out there to the other cars, to the birds, to whatever you see, and see if your blood pressure goes down. Say a silent blessing the next time you are in a long line, and see if the air begins to change between you and all those people ahead of you that you have now blessed. When we bless, I really think our blessing will teach us everything we need to know. And so, my friends, may blessings set your heart ablaze. May you be a voice of hope in the wilderness and a welcome along the way. Amen.